Galatians 6, 1 to 2, we're continuing on our kingdom series, and we are talking about here building God's kingdom. And in this passage, it's about building God's kingdom by doing good to all. And it starts, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A person will reap what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let PBBC not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Just tell the person next to you, you're special because we belong to the family of believers. Fiona, you're special. You've got no one sitting next to you, but you're special. Thank you. You're special. Especially, you are special. All right. So as you know, because it's on our screen at the front of every service, it's also something we're reminded of almost every time we meet at the church members meeting, is that our vision is work together to build the kingdom of God. And these verses help us see what that looks like. So in Galatians 6, it helps us see what does that actually look like in the kingdom of God when we compare it to the world's way of relating and functioning. The thing is, who was not born in the UK? Just one. Okay, the rest of us, we are born into a kingdom that is empire building. That is our culture. That is our history. Maybe you even studied the empire building we had, you know, we did when you were at school. That is our culture. It is not kingdom building. We are designed to build in a capitalist way, in a Western way, in an empire building way, not a kingdom way. And so today I want us to help us think through, well, what's the difference between empire building and kingdom building in two areas? One is in our relationships, and secondly, in terms of our resources. So working together, the first point, remember, right relationships. The second point is resources. Thank you. I'm just checking. Do you know what I mean, that you're still with me this morning? Remember, next week we lose an hour's sleep, just as a reminder. I know, exactly. So, you know, come on. You're forgiven next week, but not this week, all right? So working together involves seeing each other as family. Did you notice the beginning that you are my brother, you are my sister in Christ? But Paul realizes this, and I think, unfortunately, you realize it too, that maybe the relationships we've had with our siblings weren't healthy. Maybe they weren't good. Maybe they didn't build kingdom. Maybe they weren't caring or kind or based on God's word. And so it is hard to imagine if the relationship you've had with your siblings isn't kingdom building, isn't kingdom like. It's hard to imagine what being brothers and sisters is like, the family of God in the kingdom of God. And Paul recognizes that. And he's writing to the Galatian church basically saying, guys, I'm a bit concerned that the way you're relating at the moment is like brothers and sisters, but in the world, not how we relate in God's kingdom. And of course, I don't know, have you heard of this like little sister syndrome or little, you know, middle child syndrome? Have you heard of these things? But put your hand up if you're an eldest child. Bless you guys. Bless you. Middle child? Youngest child? Yeah, so my younger sister, do you know what I mean, had certain, I'm sure you're not like this, I'm sure you're not like this, youngest children. But whenever we went out as children and even as adults, the classic phrase from my sister was, I forgot my purse. There was an expectation that we would pay for her. And I remember when we came over for my mum's 70th birthday celebration, because at that time all four of us lived in different countries. So we came over and we went out to McDonald's because we were going shopping, and we thought, oh, it's just easy to sit in there. And my younger sister got up and said, I'll pay. My older sister and I looked, I was 40. My older sister, I looked and said, thinking, I don't think that's ever happened in our lives before. And when we came back, we said to Rachel, I don't think you've ever paid for anything before. She says, no, I don't think I have. She does now. But do you know what I mean? And I was just sort of thinking that we have been, even as siblings, we've grown up, haven't we, with relationships that aren't kingdom building. Yeah. And so Paul's point is, I'm going to give you a few hints at perhaps what kingdom building is like, as opposed to what the sibling relationships, the family relationships you had growing up. And the first point is gentle restoration. I am not someone who shouts, but my sisters are very good, and their arguing is a tone higher. Do you know what I mean? And so I found out, and so are some of their kids as well. But the idea is that isn't kingdom building, is it? It's actual gentle restoration. And we realize that. And the idea is that you ask for forgiveness, don't you, when you don't manage to do the gentle restoration. And actually, I don't think we can do gentle without the Holy Spirit. Without daily being filled with the Spirit, I don't think gentleness is going to naturally come from me. I also don't think that without clearly seeing, hearing, knowing, and understanding, remember that was the first point, we have the ability, we've been given the ability to see, hear, know, and understand what kingdom building is, as opposed to other buildings, you know, worldly building, fleshly building. Therefore, we have the ability to sort of think, actually, the way I'm writing to Elaine at the moment isn't brother, sister, sister, sister. It's not family. And I'm really sorry because of my hang-ups. You know, forgive me. But I can begin to see where I'm relating, not in a kingdom way, because we have been given that ability. So for gentle restoration, we need the Holy Spirit and the ability to see, hear, know, and understand God's kingdom ways compared to other ways of relating. And it is that gentle coming alongside. It isn't looking at, who do I pick on? I'm picking on Ruth because she isn't like this. But Ruth, do you know what I mean? Picking on Ruth and saying, Ruth, I'm noticing what you're doing. You just keep doing this and it's wrong and it's not good. I'm going to pray for you. As opposed to sidling up to Ruth. Ruth, I think what we're both making the mistake about at the moment is this. And can I pray with you? Can I come alongside you? You know, I feel like the phrase that always goes through my head is either but for by the grace of God or I've been there. Do you know what I mean? It's like this, what you're coming alongside people with is basically saying, hey, let's journey together. Can I walk alongside you? And that's the point of home groups, isn't it? That's the point of meeting together, because you can't do this life on your own. We're not meant to. We're meant to be in family. We're meant to not just meet on Sundays, but meet during the week as well. Remember, you know, Hebrews says, do not give up meeting together, because some are in the habit of doing that. We meet together because we want to walk together and come alongside each other to help us have speaking, thinking, and acting ways that are kingdom-like. Colossians 3:9-10 says, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We are to take off our empire building ways, our ways to try and get our own power and influence and control and manipulation. We get the opportunity to take those off and put on the clothes of the kingdom. And we can see here in Colossians 3:12, the clothes of the kingdom are compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm sure you recognize in a capitalist system, in a place where flesh rules, where the world rules as opposed to the kingdom, you don't tell the truth. You don't admit to your mistakes. You don't come clean. You think a white lie is okay. That's not the kingdom way of relating. And we know that. And that's how we relate to one another, with openness, honesty, transparency, humility, gentleness. We have the clothes to wear through the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. Because I know in my own strength I've got no chance. But that's the role of the Holy Spirit, is to make us holy, have the fruits in our lives so that we can operate differently in our brother and sister relationships that we have. And I want to encourage you, every time you do that, every time somebody comes against you, you know, because Satan will come against you, he's the accuser, isn't he? When everyone says, you did this, you know, if we can operate in a kind, gentle spirit back, not be defensive, every time we do that, one, we're demonstrating the kingdom, but two, we are sowing seeds. We are sowing seeds of the kingdom. And remember, this passage says they will reap a harvest. So I want to congratulate you, because I've seen the way you relate on the whole, and it's good. Do you know what I mean? Every time you do that with your lovely sisters and cousins and everything, well done. Do you know what I mean? Because you are sowing seeds. Well done. Because you are demonstrating the kingdom of God. You know, bless you in that. It's not easy, but well done, you know? And that, I hope, is encouraging. Second point Paul makes is being watchful. But I love this. He's like, watch yourselves. It's not about me pointing out you. It's you are responsible to watch how you react. Watch what you do. Yeah? Not others. It's for us to know when we're being tempted. It's for us to know when we're doing wrong. It's for us to come before the Lord and come before the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, convict me. Yeah? Convict me of the times that I have partnered with the wrong spirit. Remember, we know John 10:10 that Satan always comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if you find that your words are harsh and have killed, stolen, or destroyed a relationship, we know we've partnered with the wrong spirit. But the beauty of God's kingdom is there's forgiveness, isn't there? There is forgiveness. We are citizens of God's kingdom and children of our Father. We have the Holy Spirit in us and Christ in us so that we can respond in a different way, in the opposite way to the world. Be watchful. Number three, he says, carry each other's burdens, but he also says, carry your own. I don't know about you, but I've met people who sort of kind of dump the responsibility of their life on you. I mean, the example of my little sister at the beginning, do you know what I mean? It's like you're responsible for paying for everything because I'm not responsible for bringing my purse. You know, that is false responsibility, that you're not taking responsibility for yourself, but we are to carry and help carry the burdens of others. I think of Jerry and asking us to pray for his sister. You know, that is helping carrying the burden of his right sibling relationship as she's emigrating to Australia, which is not easy. You see, people notice how we relate. It is by our love for one another that they will know that we are his disciples. And they'll notice when they come in, they say, actually, thanks for carrying the burden of the things I can't do. I know the things I can, but, you know, even Shirley, you know, carrying the burden of getting you a lift. I do not want to see you behind the wheel of a car. I don't want to see you driving. That's not your burden to carry. Your burden to carry is to come and to eat and drink tea and enjoy. Yeah. Do you see the difference? Yeah. So Paul is saying to the Galatian church that at times though they will grow weary. Jesus grew weary, didn't he? You know, he was tired. It's not in the kingdom that we don't get tired. But Paul recognizes, there are times you will grow weary, but he encourages them not to give up doing good, for in God's time we are guaranteed a harvest. Jesus said his burden is light and his yoke is easy. And so if somebody's asking you to do something that feels too heavy to bear, Scripture also says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. It's okay to say no, because we are only meant to carry the burdens that we're meant to carry. And the point of the yoke, you understand the concept of the yoke and the oxen. You saw it in the picture before. Yeah. I know when I'm out of sync with God, because, you know, he's yoked to me, this oxen. And as I'm going along, I can physically feel the strain as I'm wandering off in the wrong direction. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to do this when actually he's saying, no, just do this. And then I know he's carrying the weight of that yoke. Do you know what I mean? I know he's given me the strength. I know I'm operating with his strength and with his ability. That yoke is light. And so when we're carrying each other's burdens, it's still not meant to be something that stops us partnering with Jesus and making that burden feel light. I wonder, can you trust God? Can you celebrate every seed that you've sown and say, yes, at the end of the week, I have sown these seeds, and guess what? There's going to be a harvest, you know? But that's what Paul's saying, isn't he? Because he says he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. So number four, it's a right self-image. And I've given you a minute to have a look at that. Yeah, I mean, a right self-image. And that is our right self-image. We have the Lion of Judah. There's a song that came out. I think it was a secular song about roaring. Do you remember it came out? And it's like, you know, I will roar. And I was thinking, that's what we have inside of us. You may feel like a little kitten, but actually you have a lion inside of you. You may not realize that we have the armor of light we've talked about before, as well as the armor of God and a sword in our hands. That's who we are. Now, the world will talk about a negative or a positive self-image. We're not meant to have a negative or a positive one. We're meant to have a right one. A right self-image says, I know whose I am. Yeah. And I know who I am in Christ. A right self-image says, these are my gifts and talents, and I'm going to share them with everyone that I meet, because when I share my gifts and talents, I am blessed as well as them. But I'm sure you've met people who are unaware of their gifts and talents and either don't use them or think they have a gift or a talent and they really don't. Yes. And the idea is, that's not a right self-image, is it? The idea is, this is what I have as my gift and my talents, and I'm going to use them for God. And sometimes you need someone to come gently alongside you, remember, and just sort of say, maybe that's not your gift at this moment in time. Or maybe that is your gift at this moment in time. And that's how you can serve in the community, in the church. The key to having a right self-image is not just knowing whose you are. It's not just knowing who you are in Christ. And this is what this passage also says, is don't compare yourself. It will destroy your self-image if you compare yourself to others. You are created unique. I don't know how many, you got a tongue print, an eye print, fingerprint, DNA. You've got so many things that have never been produced that way before and never will since. You are so unique. Don't compare yourself to others. Just be who God has called you to be, a right self-image, and sharing with one another. I like it how verse 9 in Galatians 6 is read in the Message. It says, enter into a common life with those who have trained you. Share all good things that you have and experience. God's people share what they are learning. They share the experiences they've had of God with everybody, including those who've trained them. You know, if you think about it, that's your home group, isn't it? Your home group, you go and you share what God is teaching you and showing you about in your experiences. And we are meant to do life together, not just on a Sunday. And it's working out, what does that look like for me doing life together? And his sixth point, and my last point, but it's a long point, so hang in there. Because we've looked at right relationships, we're now going to look at right resources. It's not sowing in the flesh. Because building an empire in an empire way will lead to destruction. Building in the flesh does lead to destruction. That's what the passage says. Whereas building in a kingdom way with God's Spirit releases life and again guarantees that harvest. So building anything in God's kingdom way requires right relationships, right resources. I'm pretty sure that Paul knew from the disciples what Jesus' main message was. Do you know what he spoke about most? What was his number one theme? No. It's interesting, isn't it? If you look, it's the kingdom of God. And his number two theme, ahead of prayer, salvation, and love, was money and possessions. It's not a British thing to do, is it? It's not a British thing to talk about money and possessions. But that's, Jesus spent 20, scholarly estimates say 25% of what he talked about was about money and possessions. Isn't that incredible? If we are to be Christ-like, maybe 25% of what I preach about is money and possessions. It's hard, isn't it? I mean, I can feel the tension in the room. Money and possessions, you know what I mean? Because it's not our culture. Yeah. You know, the early gospel writers, they translated everything into Greek from the Aramaic, except for two words. Because remember, Aramaic was a common language that they were speaking at those times. They translated everything except for two words. The first word was Abba. It makes sense, doesn't it? Because the Greek just didn't have a word that expressed Abba, Father. But the second word was Mammon. Because it does not mean money. If your translation in your Bible says money, that is missing the point. Mammon does not mean money. It means the demonic powers behind the way we think about money and possessions and unjust financial systems in place. Remember when I talked about Colossians 1, the thrones, the dominions, the powers and authorities, it's all of that behind money. It's how we think about our money and our possessions. Even stating it that way is wrong. So I just want to finish by comparing an empire way of thinking and a kingdom way of thinking in terms of money and resources from what I've understood from scripture. In the UK, it's a case of, you know, the government is pushing this. Everyone's pushing it. You provide for what you need. And if you can't provide for what you need, you get scared and worried. You have to provide for your needs. But we know scripture says God provides for our needs according to his glorious riches. We know that we can trust and obey and have an attitude of gratitude. Now, I'm not saying that you sit back and God provide for my needs. It's about being obedient to him. I remember I worked in Leicester at a school. I was the middle manager for head of the business studies department. And I remember walking by and we had a college linked onto the school. And I remember seeing the guy from the college. He says, can you teach IT? I said, yeah. The following term, he came with a contract for me to teach CLATE courses, IT courses in the evening, two evenings a week. I was like, I literally walked past you in the corridor and said, yes, I am, you know, capable of teaching IT. I didn't even know the CLATE courses existed or whatever. Anyway, here's your contract. You start on Tuesday. And I was like, Lord, what am I meant to do? And the Lord said, go for it. So I was like, yeah, but I get 40% taxed on that because, you know, it's like, what's the point? Two evenings a week. And I don't need the money, Lord, you know, middle manager teaching. But he said, go for it. So I did. So I used to stay after school, do all my school work, have dinner there, and then do the clay course two evenings a week. At the end of that year, I'd earned quite a lot of money and saved a bit of money. And that was when the Lord called me to go on mission abroad. I had savings that meant when I was struggling on the mission field, it was okay. I had money. God knew that. Do you know what I mean? He provides for our needs. Not maybe, well, certainly not in that way that I was expecting. We control how we spend our resources and finances, an empire way of thinking. No, God determines. So we come before God with our budgets. We come before God with our budget for the church. We come before, you know, I look at my budget each month with the Lord and just say, where do you want me to, you know, spend my money? And he'll prompt me. I mean, I don't know about you. You get stuff through the post all the time, don't you? And I'm like, Lord, am I meant to give to this one? No. Am I meant to give to this one? Yes. Okay. You know, it's his money. Do what he wants with it. Use resources to build your own family. It's not about that. We're to build God's kingdom and God's family. It doesn't mean to say you don't spend your money and resources on your own family. The idea is it's the thinking behind it. It's the starting thinking from God. And you'll notice it's people who are empire building will talk about my church, my family, my car, my home. These are our resources from God. I love, God knows I like cars and I like nice cars and I like cars that aren't likely to break down. As a single woman, I really don't like that. And so he provides nice cars for me. But the car is not just for me. It's to provide lifts for people. It's to provide, you know, shifting stuff from A to B. It's something that is his and to be used as he determines and for me to drive and enjoy in the meantime. Empire building people build for the short term. I remember doing this as a budget and planning for the curriculum. And I said at the school, I said, I'm not budgeting for the year. I'm not even doing a 5-year budget plan because actually what we're trying to train these kids in is not even for life. It's for eternity. It's for eternity. It's not about now, it's for eternity. Do you know what I mean? I'm thinking, and that's why I went on the mission field. I'm willing to give up everything because the eternity of people is at stake here. When we're planning, we're not planning for next month or next year or whatever. We are planning for eternity. And this is, again, I think I've told you this before, but I taught economics. And I remember just being so upset because economics says that scarcity in the world, limited resources, therefore opportunity cost exists. That is not true. That's an empire economic way of thinking. God has provided more than enough resources for everybody to have their needs and a lot of their wants met. It's literally the distribution of them. You know, as Jenny prayed earlier, it's like we've got food waste here and people are starving. If that doesn't tell you, it's redistribution is the issue, not scarcity. Yeah. But it's thinking like that, thinking there are more than enough resources for everyone in the world. And again, empire thinking, you're building your resources for yourself as opposed to work for that fairer distribution. Empire building is selfish. Whereas I love scripture that says the more you give, the more you get. You can't outgive God. You know, I've told you when he asked me to empty my bank account when I was at Ashburnham Place to help the school, King's School that's set up in Brighton. They just came and did a thing. And I was like, Lord, that is everything I have. And I'm going back to the mission field. What am I meant to do? And before I actually hit Nepal, got back there a few weeks later, the £1,000 I'm giving that was in my bank account now that was empty, it was now £2,500. I was like, Lord, where else do you want me to give? He is generous and we are to be generous. Plan in the empire, you plan for your retirement and their family's future. But remember, we are planning to leave a legacy, a kingdom legacy with our resources. I mean, I love my mum and she taught me all this about finances, but it's really hard being executor of her will. The first two pages are all the kingdom building institutions and people she wants to give the money to. And I kept thinking as she put money aside, do you know what I mean? Like, I was thinking, Mum, the three of us get what's left. But we get what's left. And actually, that is a right way, isn't it? Because Mum, even after she has gone from this world and into the next, she has left a kingdom legacy with her money. God's money that he gave her. So if you think about it, all the way back in Exodus, the core distinguishing marker of God's people was that they tithed 10%, everything to God. They tithed in gratitude for God supplying all their needs. We don't tithe for any other reason than out of gratitude and thanks to God. They tithe to build and provide a local place to gather, to worship God, and to provide for the needs. If you think about the temple in Jesus' time, you know, it was the funds from people that provided the Levites to be priests. It provided for the temple building to be managed. But it also, that's why all the poor people waited at the gates of the temple. They also provided money for the poor. That's what the temple provided. That's the model that Jesus is talking about. And I'm going to end with something you know really well, the story of the impact of a change from empire thinking to kingdom thinking on a whole village overnight. Jesus met Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had empire thinking. Remember, he stole from people. He charged them more taxes than he should have done. He had built himself a phenomenal home for him for now. But overnight, as Jesus came into his home, as he said, I need to be filled with your spirit, Holy. You know, I need to be repent. Remember, Jesus said to enter the kingdom of God, water and the spirit, repent and be filled with the spirit. As soon as Zacchaeus did that, he was like, I'm giving half my money to the poor and I'm giving out more than I stole in back, more than I stole in taxes. Imagine the impact if the wealthiest person in Billingshurst or Cold Wortham or, you know, Pulborough gave half of their income to the poor in Pulborough. Imagine if, you know, you receive back more than you've ever given in taxes. I think we would wipe out poverty in Pulborough in a day or in your village in a day if that was the case, because we had one person going from empire to kingdom thinking. So let's conclude. The place and time we have been born in has deformed our thinking. We are impacted by that thinking, not by God's way of thinking. That's why God is in the business of renewing our minds, so that we can be transformed and transform those around us. Luke 17:21 says, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you, it's in your hearts and among you, surrounding you. You and I have been given the insight within us of how to build God's kingdom with him around us. Let's live up to our vision statement of working together as brothers and sisters in Christ to build his kingdom. Amen.